2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I got the hand signal, John Boy. It's good to see visitors here. It's been visit our church before. Good to see you back. I'm just going to take this little thing off. But anybody want this? Because it just falls off anyways. Yeah. Second Peter chapter 1, look at verses 1 through 4. I'll be preaching from verse 4. Good to see each one of you. It's been a real busy week. I think we have another busy week in front of us. And so let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I'll be preaching from verse 4. Good to see 20. We'll be baptizing. We have some to baptize at the end of the service. If you haven't never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, if you'd like to get baptized today, we will be baptizing. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant. You know what, folks? That's who I want to be. Yeah. I want to be a servant for God. How many want to be a servant for God? Amen. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, look at the wording. It's so beautiful. A servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. That like precious faith, by the way, is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Savior of the world. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior. Notice seven letters, not six. The King James Bible's got it right, doesn't it? Seven's God's perfect number. The righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to His divine power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I can't wait to the glory, amen. One day we're going to get glorified. Amen. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us. Look, and this is my title, John. Are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's my title. Exceeding great and precious promises of God. Look what it says there in verse 4 again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Can anyone say amen? Amen? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me now. Lord, I really believe you put this in my heart. I begged you, told me what to preach. And Lord, this is something that nothing new. But Lord, you told me someone had to hear these words today. Father, help me to say these words with the power of God that would be meaningful to every hearer. Thank you for June Bevington on her 80th birthday. God, thank you for bringing her and Bobby to our church. And would you bless Miss June from heaven, Lord, and give her many, many more. Bless her and Bob together, and God, give her a special day on her 80th birthday. And Father, now come down and meet with us. I pray if there's anyone here, Father, that's discouraged, depressed, downtrodden, I pray as I talk about these precious promises of God, that their heart would be lifted up to you and that you would give them victory. I pray also if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would want to grab hold and be part of these precious promises. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You notice verse 4. Boy, those words just come right off the pages. Hey, Sarge, how you doing? We are told that in verse 4 that we have been given by God, look at the wording, exceeding great and precious promises. Can anyone say amen? Amen. You know, sometimes I think we don't realize, I think we take for granted the precious promises of God. By the way, I started writing precious, it would take me like 5 weeks or more to preach all the precious promises. I'm just going to take ones that I felt that God said, preach today because someone needs to hear these. But I want to talk to you this morning on those great, exceeding, precious promises of God. And if you're saved today, you've got these precious promises. They're for real. God says he accounts them as though they already are. Even you say, well, it hasn't happened yet. He says he calls those which are not as though they are already. For instance, one scripture he says, if you be in Christ, you're risen in Christ. Seek those things that are above. God, even though the rapture hasn't happened yet, Brian, He already reckons us in heaven. You know, He already sees us up in heaven with Him. Isn't that exciting? Well, I'm down here in 745 North Freedom. Yeah, I know. But God, if you've been washed in the blood, if you're really a child of God, you've got these promises. And I hope today you'll grab hold of these promises and say, hey, man, these are more than just words. These are real, and these are for me, and these are really going to happen. First of all, I want you to see something. We read the Apostle Peter talked about these precious promises, but I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 15. Of course, that's my favorite book, isn't it? Romans chapter 15. I'm going to show you a few verses in Romans, so you might as well turn there. And you don't have to if you don't want to, but it's always good to see it and hear it both. And then I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be giving you a lot of scripture today. And I'm just going to have a fit with the scripture. Amen? And when I run out of time, I'll just stop. 12 o'clock comes, I'll stop. Amen? Notice in Romans, you couldn't preach all the precious promises of God. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I want you to see what, I want to lay a truth here before we get into these precious promises. Look at Romans 15:8. Look what the Apostle Paul said. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Now that word circumcision, he's referring to a people there. The Jewish people. He's referring to the nation of Israel. He was a minister to the nation of Israel. To the Jewish people, the circumcision. Remember back in Abraham's day? And as a matter of fact, God said, I want you to circumcise all the children from 8 days old. How many are still with me? And so from that time on, they were called the people of circumcision. Now we have circumcision of the heart by Christ. How many are still with preacher today? Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Because when you read the Old Testament, God made all kinds of promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. He gave a lot of promises. One of the promises in Genesis 12, I don't have it written down here, but I'll just throw that in for a free IJA coupon or Giant Eagle coupon, because a lot of us do coupons now. By the way, we're getting this stuff from school tomorrow without coupons. In Genesis chapter, Brother Jesse, in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. So God said, hey, Abraham, every nation that will bless the Jewish people, I'll bless that nation. Every nation that goes against the Jewish people, I will curse them. Listen to me. You wonder why some of these countries have that done even the people of Israel. You wonder why they had so much trouble? I'll tell you why. They've got a curse on them. Why do you think America became so great? America has no greatness of herself. America's greatness stems from God. I'll tell you right now, America, we're the greatest country in the world. I'll tell you, who made our country great? God made our country great. God bless America. Amen? In God I trust. Notice, he said those promises were confessed. Who was he confirming them to? To the Jewish people. We're going to have fun with these promises this morning. But I want you to get something before I even go to the first one. All these promises that you and I we're blessed with, you know, originally they were the Jewish people. I was talking to Russell Anderson this week. You know, there's a lot of hostility against Israel, and those blockades were trying to come through, and Israel stopped that one ship and stuff. You know, and I said, hey, it's not Israel's fault. If they got to protect their borders. See, we America ought to learn something from Israel. You got to protect your borders from people coming in and destroying your country. Doesn't mean you can't let people come in, but you got to protect the borders. And they're up in the border because they said, hey, you got to stop and check him. If it's humanity thing, we'll let it go through to the people, but we're not letting you bring in arms that you could shoot missiles at us. Right. Folks, you know, it's just common sense. Yeah. Yet the world will use those things. Israel even took the video. I can't believe they just jumped. Originally, they came on with paintball guns. You believe they did? And you could see the people were beaten with pipes and chains, and then they had to use weapons. But they videoed it to show the world. Because see, they know that they got to try to show the world, hey, we're. But normally they don't care about being politically correct. I think political correct, and you better write your congressman and tell him, hey, I want you to stand behind Israel. We leave Israel, you're gonna have judgment on America. Well, let me show you some things about Israel. Maybe I won't get the promises of God. But in Romans chapter 9, look at Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 23. Every born-again, washed in the blood Christian, you ought to have a love for the nation of Israel. The Bible you're reading right now was written by 40 different, over a span of 1,500 years. I know it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. I understand, but God used to record it. He gave it to them. It's an inspiration of God, but the Jewish people recorded it. You got a Jewish Savior. Anyone that's a saved person that says they hate Israel, you got something wrong with your heart. Love for the people of Israel. You got to pray. I pray for Israel that God will bless them and help them and give them peace over there. They're never going to have it, though, until the Prince of Peace comes. But a Christian, if you don't have love for Israel, heart's not right with God. You say, I've never heard stuff like that. Stick around me, baby. You'll hear a lot of stuff. So many liberal preachers. If you get real preachers, Billy, then they tell stuff, you know. That's why our country's in so bad shape. There's a young man ministry in the future. We like young preachers. We like to get them fat and sassy and mean and spitting. That's what America needs. Amen? Where was I? Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of the glory of the vessels of mercy, and which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called only, but also of the what? If you're not a child. Amen? And what happened? Look at another scripture. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the saint, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. By the way, did you know Jews have to be saved just like you and I? But they're special to God. John, stay there in Romans, but let me quote you scripture. I didn't think about it till just now. In John, the Bible says in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus came unto, but the Jews, but then it says in verse 12, but as many as received him, because the Jews rejected him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Not even them to believe on his name. Because the Jews rejected their Messiah, he opened up to everyone. Because remember over in Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6, he told the disciples, Mike, he said, do not go to the Gentiles. Just go to the lost sheep of Israel. Hello? We are very fortunate that we have salvation in all the promises. Look at Romans chapter 11, and then I'll start preaching. I'm thinking about teaching this book of Romans again. Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. You Gentiles, don't look down on those Jews. You're lucky they turned them down. We wouldn't have had a chance, Billy, if they would have took him as their Messiah. He would have set his kingdom up right then. You and I would never have been grafted in. We, you know what? We better never take for granted all the blessings of God. God says, for the salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. God says, yeah, I'm going to let those little heathen Gentiles get saved. That'll get them mad. How dare they get our God? Amen? Now, if the fall of them be of riches of the world, and it was, and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, talking about the apostle Paul, I magnify my office, if by any means, when Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, God said in verse 15, he is a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And by the way, his name was Saul. When you study the book, and you study 1 Corinthians, Acts 13, the first time you see the word Paul is when Saul goes and leads a man named Sergius Paulus to Christ. And that's the first recorded Gentile that was saved in the New Testament by Paul. And that's how Paul got his name. God gave his name Saul, named Paul, to remind him as a memorial that he'd always was sent to the Gentiles. Every time he heard that word, Paul, aren't you glad you're here now, son? I'm teaching, ain't I? You're learning stuff, aren't you? I might teach that book of Romans. There's a lot of people who need to learn this stuff. But all the great truth of why God called Paul to the Gentiles. Amen? Look at, go back to Romans chapter 11. Let me finish this off. I'll never get, Bobby, I'm never going to get done here. I should never get in the book of Romans. Look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? Because see, they are going to take Christ back. But one day, the Jew is going to receive Christ as their Messiah. It'll be at the end of the trib. But shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so also are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou wilt be a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers, and this is why I'm doing this whole thing, we're partakers, those promises, by the way, partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast, Gentiles, verse 18, boast not against the branches. Don't be boasting against those Jews. Man, those dumb Jews, you're lucky. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then that the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of their unbelief, they were broken off, the Jew, and thou standest by faith. Hey, you hillbillies, high-minded, but fear. Let me see that. I want to talk to you about the promises of God, but I wanted to make a statement before I did. Before we ever get those promises, Brother Mike, they were all to the Jewish people. Fortunately now, it's to all people because there's neither Jew nor Gentile. I really like what Mike, I was talking to Mike Freimeyer a few weeks ago. And by the way, they're still on vacation. They'll be back in a week or two. They're down in Florida with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and them. I really like what Mike did. I can't wait when Jesus, it'll be like this too. They sent those census. They sent those census papers out. And they said, what race are you? And he wrote down, human. And I like that. So they came to his house, Brother Kotiver. They came to Captain's house. They said, we're trying to find out what race you are. And he said, well, I'm human. He said, what about your daughters? They're human. What about your wife? Human. You know what, folks? I know Brother Jesse and Brother Kotiver right now. I know we're not the same color. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're the same. There ain't no difference in us. We're all the creation of God. And I'll be glad, Brother Jesse, when God comes back, because all this crazy foolishness is going to be over with. Amen, Brother Kotiver? Because we're all... I don't know if I'm going to get to the promises or not. Did you know your daddy and his daddy and my daddy came from the same place? Because we all came from Adam. I don't care if you're a Filipino or what you are. Listen, we all came from Adam and Eve. And aren't you glad it wasn't Adam and Steve? We'd have never been here, would we? I'm going to start writing that on the census, human. Because that's what we are. We're human beings. Unless you're from Mars, then you're an alien. Hello? How many are still with me? I had a lady, Rosie's sister, one time was filling out something. She misunderstood. And they said, are you? She put down, I'm an alien. I'm from West Virginia. True story. I said, no, Bobby. You're American. We're going to let you in the country. But thank God. Thank God for the promises of God. Would you let me have just take a few minutes and give you a few? I got 20 minutes here. I don't know how far we'll get, but let me just give you a few. How many of you see me wear my jacket today? I'm sweating. I hope I don't offend nobody. My legs hurting, I'm sweating, I'm hot, and I'm hungry because I never eat before church, and I'm having Guido's pizza today. I'm really excited about that. Let me share some things with you. We're not having Guido's tomorrow, though. We're having something else. Probably Little Caesar. I can buy that for $5, so kids don't care. Billy, when you're feeding teenagers, just feed them the cheapest stuff. They don't care. They just want to eat. Yeah, you love Little Caesars, don't you? See, amen. That's what we're gonna have tomorrow. That's where I'm gonna get it. $5 a pop, man. You ain't kidding. Just feed them stuff. If I was close to the CC, I'd take them to the CC's. That's even cheaper. Should I preach today, or what? Do you want me to just have a little family thing here today? Let's go through some of the promises. I'm not gonna say nothing that you don't know. And I said, God, this is not going to be a very fast message. He said, you just do what I tell you. I said, all right. So I'm going to share some promises of God. And I want you to embrace these promises of God today. Because I know you hear them all the time, but they're real. These promises are real. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we forget how real the great promises of God are. Instead of being happy and jubilant because all these great promises that are going to happen for us, we get saddened and depressed and discouraged because we lose sight of what God's going to give to us. Number one, talking about God's, by the way, this world holds no... I'm glad God's got promises for us, because Sandy, the world doesn't have any promises for us. Brother Bobby, the world don't promise us anything. They can't. The world's going to be destroyed. But I know one that made the world, and he holds the promises of everything. Amen? Number one, God promises eternal life. Down through the times of human, and we've only been here 6,000 years from Adam. I don't care what they teach in school. Unless you come to BBC, then you'll know you get your... Man's only been here 6,000 years. I'm not saying, I don't know how old, but the man's only been here 6,000 years. Are you still with me? God created the heaven and the earth, and then he put man on it. Man's been here 6,000 years. The Old Testament covers 4,000 years. The New Testament covers 2,000. 4 and 2 is 6. Of course, the way they're changing things in school now, you never know. Number one, we're talking about the promises of God now, that not just to the Jewish people, but to all that put faith in Christ. He promises eternal life. Everyone wants to know they're going to live forever. Ponce de Leon and all those great explorers, they were looking for the fountain of life. And everybody down through the centuries, how do I grab hold of eternal life? They'll send you stuff in the mail. Take these pills and buy our vitamins, and they'll make you live 45 years more. They'll make your skin rejuvenate, and they'll make you look like you're 20. How many of you have got those, you know? Don't do it. Don't do it. In the missions. Let's do something that's productive. Amen? The Bible says in Titus 1:2, listen to what God's promise says in Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life. How many want to have eternal life? In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. Amen. God can't lie. I can lie, you can lie, but God cannot lie. In eternal life, which God I promised before the world began. Before he even made Adam and Eve, he said, I'm going to give those people eternal life that put their faith in me. Can anyone say amen? Amen. The Lord promises eternal life. How many want to obtain eternal life? Well, you can get it. Jesus is the one that can promise and give it to you. Then number two, Jesus promises all those who want eternal life that will come to him, he won't cast you out. Look at John. Look with me. John, you're in Romans. Look, turn back. Look at John chapter 6. Chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look 37. I'm talking about promises today. Eternal life. The Bible says, all in John 6, 30, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will know in no wise cast out. Brother Mark, the reason I'm saying that, because there might be someone here today, or someone might hear me on the internet and say, well, I'd like to come to God, but he wouldn't accept me. No, the Bible says that all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says, come, come, come. I promise if you come, he will accept you. That's exciting. That's a promise. Let me even take the promise even farther, okay? By the way, you got Jesus' promise on that. Not only that, let me extend it. Anyone may come, and not only will he not cast anyone that comes, anyone can come. Someone say, well, I can't come. No, the Bible says anyone, whosoever will may come. We have the promise of whosoever. Look at John chapter 3. Look at John 3. Look at John 3:15. In John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. See, God says, I give you a promise. Anyone can come, whosoever. There's a song. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Can anyone say amen? Listen, God even promises, and don't turn to it, but in Romans 10:13, God even promises that whosoever calls, he'll respond. Because the Bible says, for whosoever, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, no one could ever say that they didn't have a chance to be saved, because the Bible says whosoever will may come. They say, well, I didn't have a chance to go to heaven, God. Oh, no, the Bible says whosoever will may come. Matter of fact, I'm going to read to you. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the scripture. In Revelation chapter 22, I'm going to read this to you. In Revelation chapter 22 and in 17, I think this is in the scripture. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Are we in the churches? I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I'm going to tell you right now, we got some promises from God. He promised eternal life. He promised anyone comes, he won't cast them out. And he promised whosoever will may come. And he said, whosoever calls upon me, I'll save him. Man, I think that's a great promise. Amen? And God promises also that all our sins will be forgiven if we come and ask forgiveness. Hebrews 10:17 says, and your sins and your iniquities I'll remember no more. Isn't that great? Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 John, oh, I love 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. For his name's sake. Woo! Help me, God. He said, listen, you come, I'll take you. Anyone come, you, I'll forgive you. And we don't have time, but in the book of Psalms 103, verses 10 through 12, I'm going to take time. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 12. Someone needs to see this. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 12. He had not dealt with us after our sins. No, if he did, we'd all go to hell, according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to Abiram. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. He said, you go east, you go. Those two points never meet. That means that's how far your sins are gone. They're gone forever. Why am I saying that to you? Because some of you Christians, you walk in guilt. Some of you Christians say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I did a lot of bad things in my life. I'm going to tell you something. Christ has already paid for those. They're already underneath the blood. Satan tries to use those things to block your mind so you won't serve God. Satan wants us defeated. But listen, the Bible says we're in Christ, we're overcomers. We overcome. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is a victory. Even our faith. We're overcomers. Amen? How many Christians you know walking in the defeated lives, walking depressed and discouraged and say, man, God don't even want me. God will never forgive me. God will never forget what he... No, he wants you. He forgave you. He forgot it. It's already gone. You sin when you bring it up. You sin when you bring it up. Because God's already forgiven. He's already forgiven you. I was showing a lady a few weeks ago on visitation. See, here's us, our sins. Here's all of our sins. How we stand before God. Jesus had no sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God. When I took Christ as my Savior, he imputed to me his right. I ain't righteous. Man, I'm just no hound dog saved by grace. I'm just dirt. So are you. We're just sanctified dirt. There ain't nothing good about us. The only thing good about us is Jesus. If you got anything good about you, it ain't you. It's Jesus. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousness is but filthy rags. But one thing, we got a wonderful Savior, Billy, that never sinned. Freddie, our Savior never sinned. He's perfect. And the Bible says he is the righteous one. And when I got saved, Jesus gave, the Bible says in Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, charge sin. And when God sees me now, Freddie, you ask my wife and my family, I yell, I scream, I kick. Man, I throw things. I have fits. Guy run me out the road. I want to break his nose. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, and so do you, liars. There's no good thing in our flesh. There's no good thing in our flesh. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no good thing in the flesh. The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched, you get in Romans chapter 7, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who should do, I'm carrying a dead corpse with me all the time. I'm a decaying, filthy, rotten rat, because that's what I am. But Christ has set me free. And God sees us. I'm still a sinner saved by grace. But when God looks on me, all he sees is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Amen? And what happens is this. Satan tries to get a Christian down. Oh, you don't deserve heaven. You're no good. You're worthless. Yes, we are worthless. We are no good. There's none good, the Bible says. No, not one. But I'm good in Christ. That's where our goodness stems from. But I wrote this down. Don't walk around with guilt and defeat, because many Christians, you know why? Because you don't claim the promise. Billy, if I walked around thinking about all the past things in my life, I could never preach. I could never soul win. I could never do, because I'd say, oh, I'm too guilty. Boy, there's a song, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved, saved, saved by marvelous grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. How many are glad you're saved? I'm going to tell you right now. Don't you tell old Slewfoot to go home. It's a good way to cuss him out and not cuss. Because you know where he lives. I'll move on. Next point. Thank God, though, the promise of all our sins. I'm not worried about standing before God. He's cleansed me of all those things. Look up here. I'm not hoping I get to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe on it. Listen, Satan wants you to doubt your salvation. Don't doubt your salvation. Another thing Jesus said, we're never going to be forgotten nor forsaken. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 through 3, he's going to come back to us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can anyone say amen? Woo-hoo! I'm not going to be left behind. He's coming back for me. God promises never to forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, oh, you've got to turn to this one. Look at Romans chapter 8. Oh, this is a yabba dabba do. I mean, this is yabba dabba do. Romans chapter 8. In other words, kids, it's really a good thing. God's never going to leave us. Nothing can make God leave us. Look at Romans 8:35. Oh, this is so great. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Asking the question. He wants you to think. Oh, then he said, all right, let me give you some thoughts. What could separate? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, could those separate you? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, 37, Romans 8, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor pizza, nor things to present, nor things to come. I put that in for the kids. Nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Woohoo! Man, I was walking along with my friend. You know, he said, there's no God. I said, no, you're wrong. Boy, I'm singing today. I don't know why. I'm not a singer. I'll move on. He's my all in all. When they put me down, he's just coming out. He's always there when they're going to get stuff. I got the Lord. And that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. It's a great song. I don't have a voice to sing it, but it's a great truth. Folks, God promises you, I don't care what you're going through right now, you're not walking alone. And you'll never be, and not just in this life. Even through death, going into eternity, we're never going to be alone. Let me quote you. David said in Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou art with me. Philippians 1:23, Paul said, for I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing to rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Woohoo! Psalms chapter 90, verse 10 says, God gives us 70 or maybe 80, but then by reason, you got strife and all kinds. But then he says this, in the end of Psalms 90, verse 10, it says this, for it is soon cut off our life, and we fly away. And you got that song, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. That's where they get these songs. They get it from the promises of God. When I die, hallelujah, I'll. And what happens is this. Don't cry for me, man. The moment if I die, there's at least two angels. We have what they call guardian angels. Hebrews 1:14 says they're ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14 says they're ministering spirits sent to those heir of salvation. And Brother Mark, the moment a born-again Christian takes that last breath, that soul leaves that body and that spirit, hallelujah, and the angels of God say, come on, child of God, we're taking you to a better place. And ushered right up to the glory of heaven of God. Woohoo! And that's a promise. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Woo! Man, no wonder the Bible says in Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because we got his promise on it. It's 12 o'clock, but I'm going to give you a couple more. I can't quit yet. It's 12 o'clock. Hold on to your seat. God promises to give us new bodies. Boy, I need one. I'm going to tell you right now. This one here, Bobby, I'll never make it to your age. Mine's already breaking down. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. You're not as hungry as I am, and you're not as fat as I am. So you, I'm the one that needs it more than you anyways. But you need this manna from heaven. Someone needs to hear this. Look up here. You got to get this. I'm trying to have fun with you today. But what I'm giving you is an engrafted word of God. It's more than, it's way beyond the preacher. I'm trying to tell you, there's people from heaven, you need to hear from heaven today. And God wants you to hear this stuff. We've got promises from God. We do have eternal life. We do have forgiveness. And you hear, whosoever will may come. And don't be afraid to get saved. You can be saved today. And God will save anyone and everyone if all you got to do is come. And he won't cast you out. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Talking about the rapture. We should all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. In a moment of a twinkling eye. At the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Woo! How are we going to be changed? For this corruptible, this old body that gets... That's why I was telling the young boy there, his wife's in the hospital. She's just part of the world. I know they're saved, but we're elements of the human race. That's why Ann's in the hospital today. That's why your baby's had the blood. We're part of the world. How many are still with me? You're not going to be a wildcat in heaven. But right now she is, Bobby. But boy, you can have an angel in heaven. I better get off that. You got an angel now. Bobby told me she's an angel now because she's always up in here harping about something. Oh, God. No, he didn't say that. I'm kidding, kidding. That was some other guy that told me that. No, I'm in a good mood. I hope you guys know I'm having fun. I'm really in a good mood today. My knee killing, I can barely walk. Notice 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. That means mortal means you're going to die. Immortality means you don't die. We're going to live forever. John Allen had that great song. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die. No, never. I remember that. Jesus died on the tree for me. And I'm going to live forever. And so praise God. We've got that promise of a new body. That question, are you tired of this old corrupt world? How many are tired of this old corrupt world? God's going to make, he promises a new one. Look at 2 Peter. I'm only going to do two more. By the way, I've got another whole page. Don't trust me. And that one, I cut it off. Man. I'm going to read this because I want you to see it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 through 13. Yep. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then also these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy and conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, verse 13, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're going to a perfect place, a place without no more sin, without no more corruption. Amen? That's a promise of God. Isn't that great? I had the next one. And just turn to it. I promise. I'm trying to stop. Look at Revelation. Look at the follow-up. We got a promise that we're going to go to a place where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if that's all the promise I had, and that's enough to make a guy shout. Man. And I like verse 5, Mark. Sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In other words, you can take it to the bank. God promises this. Woohoo! Man. Just right the time. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, it says, it promises if we go soul winning, bearing precious seed. There's one for the bearing precious seed guy. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6, says, if we go bearing precious seed, we'll come rejoicing again. That's a promise of God. If we'll go bearing precious seed, we'll come rejoicing, bringing our seeds. Psalms 126, that's a promise of God. In other words, if you go soul winning, if you give out the word of God, it's going to come back. You're going to see seed from, you're going to see people saved from it. You plant seed in the ground, a crop comes up. That's what God says. Then I'll close. I promise with this. I'm done. But you got to get this, and I promise I'll stop. This is the grand finale. And I could go for three, four sermons just on promises. But I want you to get this, Brother Mike. This will make you want to shout. You want to know what's really exciting about all these promises of God? All these promises of God, what are they based on? And what's the foundation of these promises? They're based, and the foundation is on the promise of God's holy word. It's all predicated on his holy word. If in other words, Brother Kotiver, our promises from God, the duration of all these promises will last as long as his word lasts. All these great promises of God, D, are all based and founded on the word of God. So the duration, Brother Andrew, the duration of all the promises of God will only last as long as the word of God lasts. You got it, didn't you, buddy? The Bible says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'll close with this. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! All our promises, Betty. Everything, Emma, that God said, I'm going to give you and Richard. Everything that God promises, Nancy. Every one of them, and there's hundreds of them. Every one of them, he said, they're all based and founded on the word of God. And as long as the word of God lasts, you've got the promise. Amen. It's never going to end. Woohoo! Amen. Man, how about that? I like to pick on my preacher boys. Let me get this kid. I never got this kid yet. That's good stuff, ain't it, kid? Brother Jesse, I know I'm going to live forever. And all those things that God tells us are going to be forever because his word. It's going to last forever. Amen. And I got his promise on it. Child of God, you got his promise on it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for grafting us in besides the Jewish people. Thank you for giving us these blessed promises. Way more than preacher could ever even. I just scratched the surface this morning. Lord, thank you for all the wonderful promises. Dear God, that you fully furnished the man of God with to go forward for you. Help us. Help us as we go through this life. And oh God, I know this life is filled with sorrow and trials and heartaches and sorrow. And Lord, there's a lot of times our spirits get low. But God, when they do, I pray we'll just reach up for one of those promises that are going to endure forever. And may your promises lift us up and make us overcomers. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the victory, even our faith. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've been saved, you want to get baptized, you come right now. That's right, you just come. You're going to get baptized, you come right now. Somebody say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. You come right now. That's right. Why don't you come? Let's baptize you right now. Step out of your seat. Don't even put it off. Just come. Just come. That's right. Just come. Amen. That's right. Amen. Just come. Just come. I'm going to get baptized. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to get baptized for God. Do it right now. Come on. Come on. Let's do it right now. Don't hold back in your seats. Come on. Jesus, come back today. He going to bless you. That's right. You just come. Now, you're here today. Just go, amen. Just come on, come right ahead. You're going to get baptized? That's good. Praise God. D, make sure that everything's good in the back. Check them out, honey. Check them out for me. Make sure everything's good back there for me. Here, if you're here today and you've never been, trust Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about changing your life. I'm just talking about you getting the promises of God. because Christ died and suffered for you and rose that third day. He wants to give you eternal life. And anybody can have it. Even let me have it. So I know he'll let anybody. And his promise is whosoever will may come. You're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. And I don't want to lose out on the promises of God. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? I'm not sure if I die, if I go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. You go to hell, you're crazy. You're a fool. The Bible says only a fool is sinner, there's no God. Especially when God did everything to save you. Maybe you're here and you want to join the church. You've been saved, you've been believer's baptism. Say, preacher, pray for me. We're praying about joining the church. Let me pray for anyone like that today. Pray for me. Yes. Anyone else? Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I just pray that there's lost people here. Holy Ghost, go up and down the aisles. You're the one that has to bring them to Jesus. Bring all men unto Christ. And I pray for anyone here that needs to be baptized, that they'll come and get baptized. I pray for those that want to join the church, that you'll show them your perfect will. And then, Lord, I'm praying for Christians. I believe there's some Christians here today that have just been discouraged. And maybe they just need to come to this altar and say, God, help me. God, help me, Lord. Lord, you encouraged me with the message this morning. And, Lord, please, help me now. I'm walking out the door, but I need your strength. Who'd say, preacher, before I close, pastor, I've been discouraged. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 I see that. God bless you. Who else? Include, yes, I see, yes, sir, I see that. Father, you've seen their hands. Dear God, you've seen their hands. More than that, you see their hearts. Help them, Father. As they cried out earlier, Abba, Father, I pray, dear God, that they will have the Abba Father bearing witness in their heart, and that you would work in their heart and work in their life and encourage them, help them in those trials that they have to face and all those burdens. Help them, I pray. Dear God, I bring them to your attention right now. We ask your blessings on them in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, Mark? 401, you want to come? You come right now. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray. You just come. That's right. Just come. Come now. That's right. Just come. You just come. That's right. That's right. Just come.